WQ listening.
KN4BWA. What's up, Rusty?
It's a terrible Thursday.
Well, did they take Dear Abby out of the newspaper?
Did they what?
Did they take Dear Abby out of the newspaper?
No, I never read that when it was in there. And I don't know. I don't get the newspaper, so I don't bother about that. Now, I went to my audiologist yesterday to have my hearing aid checked out, my ears checked out. They say there's no change in my ear hearing, but my hearing aid is dead. And my insurance company now makes you go through their company, who they're contracted with, to get hearing aids. And my dealing with them was not very good, so I filed a complaint about that. But anyway, and then today my washing machine died, so what can I say?
It probably really won't help any, but if you take a 2-pound ball peen hammer and walk in there and lay it on the top of the washing machine, that might help if you threaten it real good.
It's leaking too much water out of it. For this washing machine, all of the seals for the washer tub have all let go. And this particular washing machine, the seals are all part of the whole unit. You can't just order the seals and get them replaced. So the new tub unit is $276 plus tax, and then another $175 on top of that to have it installed. So I'm looking at, right at $500. So I went today and picked out a new machine. And hopefully they'll get it delivered either this afternoon or tomorrow, because I can't stand water leaking out all over the floor,
Is that a front-end loading washing machine?
Yep.
Well, I hope you wised up and bought a top loader.
I did.
And was that unit an LG that you're replacing?
No. The unit I'm replacing is an Armana unit.
Okay. Well, then you probably got a lot of good years of service out of that.
About 9 years.
What did you buy?
I got a Samsung. Got a good deal on a Samsung. It had been originally sent out as a new machine, and the people that got it home and then realized it did not match their current dryer, and so they wanted one that was the same color as that. So 3 days later, it was returned to the store, and needless to say, they can't sell it as a new machine, so I got a good deal on it.
Well, good. And if they're that vain on a piece of equipment's color, goodness, I hope they took the hit on it. That's silly.
It's one of these pay-as-you-go places, so they had only paid about $38 against it, so they didn't take a big hit. But well, they did. Well, what they did is they got a different one. And from the same place. They just got one that was the color they wanted from the same place. But it's a very nice Samsung top loader, heavy duty, and I'm going to enjoy having it because that's what finally killed off my washer at home this morning. It was a load of towels and jeans,
Well, I'll tell you what, as long as it's not an LG, you probably did okay. I'll tell you. I paid almost $1,600 for an LG washer and dryer set, and the dryer lasted about 3 years, about a month after the 3-year warranty, and the motor went out on the drum. Well, the drum is also the fan motor. The drum motor runs, the motor runs both the fan and the drum. Well, needless to say, no nobody had parts for it. I had to wait 7 or 8 weeks to get the parts, and the part by itself was $400 and something. So, naturally, you know what went back in, don't you? Good old-fashioned GE, and that was 12 years ago, and ours is still going strong.
You had a problem with the Manna products before. I'd had them before and never had a problem with it. And, of course, I got, of course, it's 9 years, and, you know, I wash heavy towels and jeans and things a lot because I wear a lot of jeans and use a lot of bath towels around and everything. So, you know, it didn't surprise me. It just surprised me in the fact that it was built the way it was, that you could not yet just the seals and have new seals put in around the tub so it would quit leaking. And, but that's what they informed me of. Can't do it.
Yep. That's the way it is with those front-end loaders, Bo. Well, that's why I'll never have another front-end loader, too. A Manna, now that's supposed to be made here in the U.S., isn't it?
Oh, it is, but that's just the way this particular unit is made. I called my buddy who works in that type of business, and he looked it up in the, I gave him the catalog number for it, and he looked it up online where he looks, gets his parts from, and that's the way that particular unit is made. You know, it's one of these that sets up on a pedestal and all, because I got that because I got tired of bending over. And anyway, but it will be going out the back door and sitting in the backyard until I can get somebody over here to get come pick up this old refrigerator I got and then the old washer and haul them both off, because there's nothing wrong with the dryer, but, you know. But that's what it is, and you go with what you got to go with, you know.
About $700 lighter today.
Yeah, about that. And all I will be by the time I pay it off. So, you know. And all, unless I get my settlement between now and the between now and the 120 days cash payoff part of it, in which it would be a whole, you know, it'd be the $700. So, oh well, you know, I'll just grin and bear it, as they say.
Yeah, Roger. Well, so what else is going on? Give me something good.
Worked a guy from Sudan last night.
How about that? Well, that's a pretty good shot, especially over in that part of the world. Yeah, I was out of my shed this morning. I was just scanning through, and I talked to a guy in South Dakota. Well, no, actually, he's in North Dakota, about 25 miles from the Canadian border. And just a really, really, really nice fellow, and a good conversation. Turns out he lives in a town of a total of 55. He says he's got his little slice of heaven right there.
That's what you got to do sometimes. And all I've got, we've got a guy that's been checking in to our Century Club nets that has been, he's been running portable in South Dakota. And he, because of where he lives, he can't work from home. So he gets out and moves to another location, and he works portable from there. But that's all right. Things like that work out, you know, and get a chance to make some contacts with him and all. So what you up to today?
Going down to do the preliminary stuff with a contractor on a job I got going downtown Greenville. And I'm going to grab me some lunch, and then I'm going to go back and feed the chickens, take the trash off, and, you know, the usual domesticated stuff. Yeah, when you say portable, you mean a mobile?
Well, there's mobile and then there's portable. If you go and work from some other site, in other words, like say if you're out in a motorhome and you're out camping somewhere and you set up, even though your radio's in the motorhome, but you set up in a campsite somewhere, you're portable. If you're going down the road and making contacts while you're in your car, your vehicle, or whatever else, then you're mobile. So he sets up portable. He goes to a he goes to a club website and a club that where he goes is the club, and they've got equipment. He goes portable there.
Ah, okay. Well, now the South Carolina deck. Did y'all shift off at 39:15?
Nope, we're still there. We're just starting to take check-ins about 6:30, 6:35, 6:40, somewhere along there. Because by a little after 7 o'clock, the band has gone so screwy that nobody can hear anybody. So they start taking early check-ins, and the net's been finishing up a little bit after, about 5 or 10 minutes after 7 lately. And so you got to start getting in to start listening about 6:30 and listen, and then when they start calling for early check-ins, that's when you get into it.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, yeah, because I've been getting on there at about 7:15 and wasn't hearing anything. I figured, well, okay. But yeah, I'll go ahead and start trying to get out there by about 6:30. And I'll try to check in some now. You get check-ins from all over the country, though, don't you?
Oh yeah, we do. We get check-ins from a variety of places. So I mean, we get a good dose of check-ins, you know.
Well, I'll see what I can do about trying to check in this evening. I haven't hit anything local. That's what I call local. Are you calling it tonight?
Look around here. Let's see. This is the third. No, Gary's calling. KG4RUE. I've got it next week. And then I've got it Christmas Eve. And I'm probably going to have to do a shift with somebody for Christmas Eve because I have to sing at church that night.
So what do you guys do? Take 1 week and then somebody else says it the next week?
Well, Gary and I are every other Thursday, and he gets it 3 times this month and I get it twice, and sometimes, you know, it depends upon when we get those 5 Thursday months as to who gets it 3 times, you know.
Yep. Now, what's his QTH?
Gary lives down in Anderson.
Well, I shouldn't have any problem at all getting him. I mean, see, I can just, as close as you are, I sometimes have a little trouble getting you.
The guy that works me, he doesn't live but about a mile from me, and usually I can hear Rip just about every night. He's running about 3.5 to 5 watts or less. He's running 5 watts or less, and it's nothing. But I work him ground wave most of the time because he and I are that close, and with the type of antenna he's got and the type I've got, we seem to be able to work ground wave. And it's just, it's just like like when I do call the Century Club nets. There's a guy that he and I live, you know, I've got an address here of Moore, and he's got an address of Woodruff, and we actually live, you know, between 7 and 9 miles apart between the two of us. We could actually probably holler out the window at each other, yet he and I never have any problem hearing each other. Except every now and again when the band goes real, real long, we can't hear each other on 40 or 75, either one, you know?
Yep, okay. Well, so what kind of antenna are you running?
I got a full 80-meter loop antenna up in the air, a wire antenna. I've also got a G5RV. But I've got it. It's not located real well. I need to get it up higher in the air and get it in a different location. But mostly I use my loop antenna because it seems to work the best. If I could get this other antenna on the other end of my yard, it would probably do better, and I could get it flat instead of kind of like a funky inverted V, you know?
I've got a Maxcon NVIS, inverted V, mounted up towards the top of my tower. I run it up with a pulley, and I've talked as close as KZ4M with him, and I've talked to a couple of guys there in Blue Ridge and North Greer. But it just seems like about 25 miles out, there's a little gap in there of like 25 to 40 miles. I've got a little gap where it just kind of, I guess it transitions from ground wave to, you know, short path.
And, you know, and it also depends upon the angle of your V, too. I mean, whether it's a real steep angle or it's a real shallow angle. So all of that works into it, and of course what the conditions are in the atmosphere too. So, oh well, it is what it is. And what kind of work are you doing in downtown Greenville that you got to have some meeting up with a contractor down there?
I'm going into a hole here by the old Appalach Mill, the 357. So you may not be able to hear me well. I'm moving an X-ray system from over off of Augusta Road over to near Cleveland Park.
You've gotten a little bit of white noise, but not enough that I'm losing you. So, okay. Sounds like it can be a lot of work sometimes if things aren't set where they're supposed to be.
Preliminary is done properly. It's a breeze. If the preliminary is not done properly by the contractor, I'm on the phone raising all kind of cane saying, hey, get your guy back over here. I can't proceed. It's not adequate. It's, you know, not according to plan. And listen, when it comes to contractors, I am as helpful as I can be. I work with them. I plan with them. I do everything that I possibly can. But if they don't put it in according to the specs, well, you know, I can't hold their hand while they're building.
You set everything up. You give them all the details, give them all the drawings, and then it's up to them to execute the task. I've had to deal with them before on things like that. And all, but, you know, well, you got to deal with what you got to deal with and all out there, Steve. That's just about what it is these days.
I make my customers sign a statement that says that I am not responsible for errors in structure. That if it's not laid in properly, I go from quoted price to hourly rate.
They have to reach a whole lot deeper in their pockets to for you to fix it, right?
Contracted level of about $100 an hour to an hourly rate of $150.
Yep, know what that's like. And I used to do some contracting with programming for computers and things. And, you know, when I broke the programs and installed them, everything worked right. When I walked away from it, if their people started screwing around with it and then I had to come back and fix it, it was definitely going to cost them more than what it cost them for the original. So, been there, done that, you know. Don't have a T-shirt, don't want it.
On something right there that absolutely burns me up. These IT people, you know, they manage the systems to make sure one's talking to the other. But they come in, you need a virus protection on here, and you need a wall, and you need all this, and you need that and the other. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, your customer has got a password on the entire network that nobody can penetrate except for the contractor. That way, they lock them in without even telling the customer. I go in and try to fix their problems, and I just look at them and say, well, you spent 2 hours, 45 minutes for me to get here, 45 minutes for me to travel back, and a half an hour trying to figure out how to get into your system. When you get your password from your IT guy, let me know. I'll charge you the hour and a half travel again, and I'll charge you whatever time on site again.
Yeah, well, when I went in do things. I didn't get into that stuff because that was not what I wanted. I was not, you know, I was a programmer. I was not the, I was only one place was I the IT director. And I had contractors working for me, but I made sure I knew exactly what they were doing, where they were doing, how they were doing, and when they were doing it. And if I had a problem and couldn't get into something, before they walked out that door, they made sure I could get into it and fix whatever I needed to. So, but it's, you know, like I said, I did programming when I did outside contracting work. I wrote programs only, and they were for specific jobs. And you know, because of my background and what I was doing, I could write the program and go in there and install it on their system, tweak up a couple of things because of what they had on their system that I didn't know, get it fixed. When I walk out the door, everything's running and it's copacetic. And for the first 24 to 48 hours, if they have a problem with it, they call me. They're covered by it. But after that, if their and that's if their programmer does not put a finger on it. If one of their programmers starts going in there and screwing around with it, then it's going to cost them. I don't care whether it's in the first 24 or whatever, it'll cost them. And I did business like that for about 8 years. And my customers learned that, you know, fine, if you want me to come in and do it, you lead, get your people to keep their fingers out of it, because it will work when I leave.
See, I have to operate with medical. I do the digital imaging, and I have to meet certain standards for HIPAA and all other kinds of compliance stuff, especially for DICOM imaging. You know, I've got to make sure that the radiologists are all happy, put it that way. And, man, I tell you what, I've had IT people come in and play with the settings within the software of my programs for the imaging and mess up the images. And I got two customers. They won't allow their IT people back in the building without me being there anymore. Because once they screwed it up the first time, it cost them big time to get it straightened out.
You better do that. Keep the federal folks happy. Yeah, well, I had two customers that I did work for over a period of about, I guess it was over a period of about 6 years. And they wouldn't let their people mess around with stuff that I had written for them. And they were under strict orders. If that software, for some reason, had a problem, the first person they called was not the programmer on call for them, but me. And because after the first couple of times, their operations manager called one of their programmers, and he went in and screwed it up, and then they couldn't get it to work, and they had to call me back, and the bill he got for that, operations manager, was under strict orders. No, he didn't call any one of his programmers because they were not qualified to work on that program. They had no clue what it was doing, and that was why it was written by me, because of the financial part of it. So, anyway, but that's the way it is. W2T.
KN4VWA. Yeah. I tell you what, I had a guy come in. And, I mean, I got him thrown out. He come in there, put the locks, you know, put a password on the system and all this and that and the other. And I just happened to know what he put on there for virus protection, which was absolutely worthless. And I had my laptop with me. And I said, I tell you what, Doc, why don't you walk out to the car with me real quick? And we went out, I sat down, went up into the internet by going onto my hotspot from my phone, I didn't even use his network. But I went in the back door, and I went all up in his system with him standing there, sitting there in the car seat next to me watching. And I said, okay, now, what do you want to know about your system? He says, go over to my payroll. I said, okay, all right. And I went out, and I went logged, crossed over from one computer from the back door into his primary server, pulled up his payroll. He says, well, I won't use the expletives that he used, but within 5 minutes, that guy was run out the door and said, told him, just don't you ever come back here again. But he had done that guy wrong. I mean, I'm not a hacker, but I was able to just go up into the back door of that system without any problems whatsoever.
Go. For about a year, I did a job where I did testing for companies to test their security on their computer systems. And of course, I don't have any copies of the software or anything of the stuff that I used back then to do it. But I showed a lot of people that their supposed security wasn't very secure. And I made a nice little chunk of change for a while, you know.
Yep, all of those little wireless routers have got little chunk back doors in them. And if you know where they are, I think they're pretty much ridding themselves of those now. Those are mainly the Chinese routers. And you could go in the back door of those things just from wireless without any problem.
Yep, you could. And well, I think I'm going to go try to find me a little something for lunch. Kind of keep it light today. Not feeling real healthy with my stomach. It's gotten it calmed down after giving me fits for 2 days. So I think I'm going to find me something. I've got me a little bit of seafood salad in there, and I got me a little bit of chicken salad. And I may go get one or the other and some crackers and, you know, that and some club crackers, and that'll be my lunch today. You take it easy out there. Be careful where you're going. Enjoy your lunch. Don't throw any contractors out the door. And we'll talk to you later. KN4BWA W2T 73s for now.
Rusty, when it comes to Christmas, don't do like at Thanksgiving. Don't eat both the turkeys and half the ham, bud. You'd be better off. Have a good afternoon. Enjoy your lunch. W2T, KN4BWA, clear.
Yeah, last little message. I haven't had any turkey and I haven't had any ham because I just ate leftovers for Thanksgiving. Don't have anybody to go eat with. Talk to you later, W2T, clear.
KN4BWA, N4WRO.
N4WRO. How you doing, big guy? I hadn't heard you in here in a while.
Hey, Steve. Yeah, we've been busy getting a lot of things done here at the homestead. Just heard you guys in there yakking, talking about contractors. You know what the 7P principle is?
I have not heard that. Go ahead. Tell me all about it.
Oh, no. Nope. I'll email it to you. I don't want to say it over the radio.
Okay, I'm definitely gonna want to hear this one. Yep. Well, you know what? I've run into some contractors that, I mean, really on it. Really did a good job. Spot on. If you asked for it, it was exactly as it was detailed out. And then I've run into some contractors that I needed to translate English to them, even though they were from Piedmont. Anyhow, I've run into, as a matter of fact, the percentage of contractors that I've run into that were really, really bad, maybe 2%, 3%. But it sure does make you want to keep an eye on all the rest of them.
Exactly. Yeah, we've been dealing with contractors here at the house the last couple months. HVAC stuff. We had new roofs put on the house, the shop, the barn. It's been a little crazy around here.
Okay, and 4VWA.
So the contractors themselves speak English. Now, the people that are showing up on site, do they speak English?
Maybe 1 out of 10.
I have gotten to that point. No English, no work.
Yep, I know what you mean. I'm just about at that point, too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the crew to put on a roof, I knew the contractor. And he's had this crew, he's had a couple of these guys on the crew over 7 years. And most of them do speak English. But, you know, they were all Hispanic. And I tell you what, now, they did a good job.
I don't care if you're Latin American or Chinese or German or whatever. As long as you got a green card or you're a citizen, I'm fine with you. I don't care. But, you know, if you're just over here, you don't even speak English, you're taking away American jobs, you're not here legally, no, I don't have time for you.
Watch me. Yep. So, did you get everything all settled down after the wedding and holidays and everything?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's over. It's over. I'm back to being a human again.
There you go.
It's over. It went off just beautifully. We had perfect weather. Everything just... There was only one issue, and... I told the kids, you know, I don't know of your friends who does what, who, you know, who drinks and who doesn't. There's no way that I could make an estimate of how much beer and wine to buy. Well, for 70 people, the kids bought 14 cases of beer and 10 cases of wine. And I hauled it all in there for them because I got a truck. Well, for 70 people, good land, I hauled 8 cases of beer and 6 cases of wine back out of there.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, there was this one point where the groom, he looked at me and he says, you know, I sure hope this all works out. I hope we can do as good as you and Sue. And you know, I said, Bradley, are you getting second thoughts and wet feet? Well, you know, that's natural for any group at the last minute. I said, Bud, I have a hot flash for you. This is not a shotgun wedding, but it will be if you hesitate.
Right. Hey, what power level are you on? You're starting to break up.
Hello, Wade Hampton, and I think there's a shadow on your parents' mountain. And I'm right here at, you know, Wade Hampton Boulevard at all. I'm right here at the Red Lobster.
Yeah, okay, I know where you're at.
Yeah, I'm in that shadow there, and the repeater does get a little bit weak in here.
WRO. Yeah, well, you're starting to come back up, so you're moving through it.
Yep. Well, guess what I did? I finally conceded to the fact that I cannot outdo the problems that I had in my Dodge diesel truck with my R-Band 857D Yaesu radio. I finally isolated it, and I figured out that it was not coming in through the ignition or through the power wires, because I set a battery in it and I hooked the radio up directly to the battery, eliminating any power coming in from the vehicle. And I figured out that it sounded like ignition noise, but it wasn't. It was noise from the injectors, of all things. You ever heard of that?
I've never heard that. That's a Cummins diesel, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, I've got a Duramax. It's got, I think that's an Isuzu. but it uses a Bosch common fuel rail with Bosch injectors on it. I don't think the Cummins uses Bosch injectors, does it?
This is my first Dodge truck, and I've got less than 20,000 miles on it, and I would not have a clue. All I know is that this thing is a beast. It, oh, man, it'll pull like crazy. But, in the meantime, I figured out that the noise was coming in RFI through the antenna, and I just don't know a way to beat that, because I grounded the engine block, I put strap grounds around each of the injectors. Man, I grounded everything coming and going, and it was still there. So I moved that 857, which is what I'm on right now, into my little Saturn sedan, which is, you know, I drive it around to keep miles off of the big truck, and it's just perfect. I talked to a guy in South Dakota yesterday. Talked to a guy in North Dakota today, but I did it on my shack. And then I talked to a guy in California. Propagation must have been just absolutely perfect, because he said it sounded like I was sitting in the seat next to him, and I was riding down the road in this little sedan. So I moved a 2-meter 440 over to my Dodge, and it doesn't affect 2-meter 440 in any way, shape, or form, which is what I just don't understand.
I tell you what, vehicles can sometimes drive you crazy. Now, did you run your power leads directly to the battery, or did you run it through the internal wiring?
I ran the power through the internal wiring so that it would kind of turn on and off with the truck. I said, okay, it's got to be on the internal. So I ran it directly to the battery at that point, and didn't change a thing, and then I ran it straight to a battery sitting in the back seat of the truck, and made no difference whatsoever at any of the feed locations. So that's what convinced me that it was coming in from RFI.
Yeah. Normally it'll pick it up on the power leads, but you isolated the power leads to, you know, completely away from the whole system. So the only way it can get in is, you know, in through the antenna system.
That's the way I understand electron flow. That's the only way it can get in, when I completely eliminate any input power from the truck. So, oh well. Man, I tell you what, I put toroids on the antenna wire, I put power, the little donuts, I had additional ground straps on the radio, on the back of the antenna feed. Man, I had ground. Listen, you could read ground from the ground on the truck through the rubber tires down to the ground. I had it ground everywhere.
4WRO. Yep. I know what you mean. It'll drive you crazy sometimes. But, I'm just sitting out here just after, it's after lunch. Just running a little FT8 out here playing around, killing time.
Are you doing the FT8 same time you're talking to me?
Yeah, I got the FT8 running on that ICOM, the 7300.
Okay, you must have your antennas wide apart.
No, actually, for the HF, I'm running one of those EFHW8010 long wires. It's 132-foot long, in-fed, and I've got the transformer for that, or, you know, the connection box. It's sitting about 2 feet underneath that Comet GP3 I got up there.
Well, when I tried that, I transmit on my other radio for 2 meter, and it would overdrive the front end on the 2 meter when I transmitted. I wonder what I was doing wrong.
I don't know. This has been up there almost a year now, and it's worked great. Yeah, I can work, 2 meter, 440. You know, at the same time I'm running FT8 or even running, upper side bound or lower side bound on it.
for VWA. Well, that's smooth. Now, see, that's something I got to figure out. Man, I tell you what, in the evenings, the FT8 on 20 meters is just dead.
Yeah, I tell you what, 17 meters, starting at about 9 o'clock in the morning, running to about 3, 4 in the afternoon, has been wide open to Europe.
I've been trying to hit down around the Pacific Rim with my FT8. I've managed to hit New Zealand, and I've only hit Australia one time. I can hit New Zealand like it's a chip shot, but I can't seem to hit Australia that easy. I guess I'm just not holding my mouth right. But, yeah, I've been, you know, trying to work FT8 over into the Middle East and into the Pacific Rim. And I've been doing okay, but, you know, not that great.
My log here to look at Australia, I got, about 15 contacts with them. And the majority, I'm going to say 98% of the Australia contacts on FT8 and voice have been on 40 meters.
All right, that makes sense. All right. At what time of day?
Let's see, 1000 Zulu, 1100 Zulu, right in that time frame, whatever that is. Well, we subtract 5 on that.
You're looking at probably the gray line, and you're looking at what, 6, 7 o'clock at night?
Yeah, something like that. Now, it'll be about 6 in the morning.
Ah, okay, that's right. Coming off at 12 o'clock, running up. Yeah, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. There you go, okay. All right, well, I guess I'm going to have to set my alarm clock early because usually at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm doing a close order inspection of the inside of my eyelids.
Yeah.
Any voice, long path?
I mean, how do you really tell that? I mean, how do you tell if you're going long or if you're going, you know, normal? Other than maybe hearing an echo once in a while.
Well, 99% of the time, you're going to hear a slight echo in there, okay? Or you'll hear some of the distortion, you know, like underwater. You'll hear that pretty much every time. And that's how I tell.
My hearing is so bad, I probably couldn't tell whether it was short, long, or middle.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, hey, listen, I bought myself a West Mountain clear speaker for my system. Oh, my gosh, that thing is incredible. It's a DSP filtration. Great day in the morning. That thing is unbelievable. I'm pulling out signals, and I can hear people. I can hear stations that were always off down on the floor.
Yeah, I put that matching ICOM speaker on the 7300, and it really helped a bunch. And when I really get serious about it, I put the headset on, and then I'm good.
Well, yeah. Now, do either of those have the filtration in them? You know, to take out that white sound.
It doesn't have that on it. But, you know, I can play with the filters on the radio, and it takes a lot out. Now, that Heil Pro 7 headset has got a switch on one of the ears that you flip it, and it kind of, I think it reverses one speaker and got the other speaker, and it changes stuff in there. And I tell you, it changes the phasing of it, I think is what they call it.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that. Now, see, you know, I'm going to have to quit talking to you, because every time I talk to you, I have to go look something up and check it out.
And you wind up spending money.
Nah, I tell you what I wound up spending the money on was that West Mountain speaker. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the best money I've spent in a long time on AM. Matter of fact, a buddy of mine, KB4CBA, David, he asked me about the thing, and he says, well, is it that good? I said, well, no, you got to come up here and just listen to it and try it out on my 991. He came up to the house, and within 15 minutes, he was on the phone calling HRO in Atlanta, get me that thing.
Yeah, I've talked to David quite a bit. He's a character.
His wife was going to get him for Christmas.
There you go.
I tell you what, I ain't talking bad about the boy, but he is sure enough a tennis-playing fool, ain't he?
Every time you hear him, he's either coming or going to the tennis courts.
I tell you what, he and I graduated high school together, and he's a good friend. And I just wish I had the legs to do what he does, man. I tell you. Either that or he's playing slow motion tennis.
There you go.
What are you up to today? What kind of honeydew?
I'm on the honeydew list today. Well, I do. I gotta get out there. I think I got a Bendix that went nuts on my riding lawnmower. Got one of those Husqvarnas. Went out and cranked it the other day, and all it did was go zing. So I got to pull the cover off, see if the Bendix needs lubed or something.
Okay, well, it's been right cold, and when some of those lubricants get cold, they get stiff. That might be what you've got there with that. If it's got a centrifugal drive on the starter gear.
Yeah, it does. It's got a centrifuge drive on it. Springs and everything in there, so it could very well be just cold and sticky.
Just like me, old and sticky.
I'm older than you.
Well, are you sticky like me?
Yep.
Well, get off of that subject, man, I tell you what. Well, I'm sitting here waiting on this doctor to show up with the contractor, so we were supposed to meet at 1:30 today. He ain't here yet. I like people that are on time. So, well, listen, you're going to have to, the next time you're over towards Spartanburg, you need to give me a call, and you need to come up and see my shack.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hopefully that'll happen here pretty soon. But, yeah, I'll send you an email with the 7P principle.
Do that. I look forward to seeing that. I hope it'll be something I can get a nice chuckle out of.
You will. All right. We'll talk to you later, Steve. I got a couple things I need to do anyway, like refill my coffee cup. N4WRO. We'll be clear on your final, buddy.
N4WRO. I'm glad to hear you've got your priorities straight. I will catch you a little bit later. 73 KN4VWA. I'm clear.